Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here on graduation Sunday with all of our graduates and with the whole body. And we want to talk about a few things this morning within the sermon, just about the story that these kids tell and what their life has been up to this point, and then just the possibilities of where they will go and what they will do from this point on. And we also want to just take a moment this morning in the worship service and tonight at the graduation reception just to acknowledge the accomplishment that they have made in completing high school, and to acknowledge the possibilities that lie ahead of them, the things that they'll do, is what they could be is wide open. And to give honor where honor is due, that they've worked hard and they've been in school for 13 years and they've done so much, and now they've completed it and they're moving on to the next phase. And traditionally, we call it stepping into adulthood and now going to the place where they're making decisions for themselves and becoming their own person. So what we want to do, most of the graduates will be in second service, not first, but there are two that are here in first service this morning. And we just want to take a little bit of time to acknowledge each one personally, let you know who they are, a little bit about them and what's going on with them, what they'll be doing, where they're graduating from, as we tell their stories. So the two of them are here this morning, and what I want to do is I want to just have you two just stay where you are, and when I call your name, stand up, and I'm going to bring you a gift and shake your hand and tell you congratulations, and then we will proceed from there. So our first graduate is Garrett Blank. He's right back here. Go ahead, stand up, Garrett. You can give him a round of applause. Garrett's graduating from Granite Bay High School. And he's been in the youth group, I think, you guys started coming here right around junior high, right, for you? Yeah? So he's been in the youth group for quite a few years. He was involved in the drama program at Granite Bay High School. He was involved with us in the youth group with doing mission trips and camps. I remember Garrett specifically on our San Francisco mission trip. Also has a love, I don't know if he's still planning on doing this in the future, but a love of Japanese culture and language, and he's talked about teaching English in Japan and doing things like that in the future. So, proud of you, Garrett. The other graduate that's actually here during first service this morning is Marissa Cater. She's right here. There you go. A lot of you probably recognize Marissa as Larry and Cynthia's granddaughter. And so she's been a part of the youth group in some small and big ways over the past few years. And she is graduating from Capital City High School. And she has been, when she's around, she's a very joyful, pleasant presence as part of the youth group. And we've been glad to get to know her. And it's a testament to Larry and Cynthia, who they are, that they've kept Marissa and now McKenna, as the future goes on, involved in what's going on. So we're proud of Marissa. Now we're going to go through a few more. And I'm sorry, I was supposed to be clicking the pictures. I got a little distracted. There you go. There's Garrett. There's Marissa. Okay. Now as we proceed from here, there's a few more that are not here at first service. And if you are here, just wave your hand and say, hey, wait, Aaron, I am here. And we'll, Jacob is here at first service. And I even talked to him this morning. Sorry, we'll get to Jacob in just a minute. But first, Travis Coleman is graduating this year from Oakmont High School. He was pretty involved with volleyball, and he's always a regular at retreats and camps with our youth group. And he's been just a pleasure to have around. As you can see from his picture, there's two things that you always notice about Travis. He has very tight curls in his hair, and he's always smiling. That's what I remember about Travis. He's been a stud in the youth group and great to have around, so we're proud of Travis. Next, the person that I will never forget again, Jacob Davis is here. Go and stand up, Jacob. Jacob is graduating. I have your high school written on the paper up there. Where are you graduating from? River City High School out in West Sacramento. And he is going to be going to, he had early acceptance at Humboldt State University. And so his mother is very proud of him, and we have had lots of email exchanges, me and Deborah, about how do I motivate Jacob to not only know that he's smart enough to do his homework, but actually do it and turn it in. So he did. He's gotten excellent grades. He's going on to Humboldt State. He has lots of family And as you, many of you know, lots of godly adults involved in his life, and that has made a huge difference for him. And this is also a testament to Deborah, who has done an excellent job as a single mother, who has poured her heart and soul into raising a godly son, and she has done it. Jacob has been involved in oceanography and sea scouts. He went on the mission trip to New Orleans, where he demucked some houses with his mom, and some of the adults had a great time. Jacob, he can have a great conversation with people of any age. And that's different for an 18 to 19-year-old. I've seen him in the foyer having conversations, real conversations, with older adults. And I've seen him interacting with younger kids as well. So we're very proud of Jacob. Next is Kenny Colster. Kenny, I think, will be here at second service. He's graduating from East Nicholas High School. And he played baseball and football. And he is a man of quiet strength. And so he was always with us. At events, he came to a camp where usually FTC during the summer and our Unity retreats at Shenandoah West. Lots of good memories with Kenny. Next, also will be at second service, is Kelsey Kruger. She's graduating from Pleasant Grove High School. She really, really deeply cares about her friends. And you can see that by how many, through the years, how many friends she has brought with her to church, to camp, to retreats, and on Sunday mornings. Just love having her around. Next, and I just want to give you a little forewarning, Cameron chose his own picture, so it's a little bit Cameron Mara style, but Cameron Mara, even Janice said on Facebook, oh no, Cameron chose his own picture. Cameron is graduating from Pleasant Grove High School. He was very involved in the marching band, and I got to go see him a few times, about once each year, and this last year he was kind of in charge of the whole student organization of setting up and taking down the band as they moved along. He is very much a leader involved in that. He's going to head off to Oklahoma Christian University. He's always been a part of whatever's going on in the youth group. Cameron, with this church, has gone to Ethiopia, Japan, New Orleans, San Francisco, and anything else that we've done. And I've looked at him as a leader and depended on him for leadership, and I ask him to do it, and he does. And he's also a good motivator for the other kids, and he's been great to have him and be a part of the youth group. And he reminded me, actually, when we were on our senior trip, he said to me, I was in kindergarten. He told me that he was in kindergarten when I first came here. So I've watched him and many of these kids grow up from a very young age. Next is Ann Thorpe. She's graduating from Roseville Academy of Math and Science. Roseville Academy of Math, Science, and Engineering. And she is actually graduating a year early. And this kind of a homeschool, charter school thing that she's been involved in, she's going to go on to school and study and get her college degree probably earlier than most kids would. She is very interested in art, and she even goes with her dad to these anime conventions, and her artwork is actually pretty impressive, and so we're very proud of Anne. She's another quiet but pleasant, happy to have her around because she is very quietly confident and sweet to those around her. And next, I was unable to get a picture from him, but Troy Hill is also graduating. He lives up in Placerville. He was involved with football a lot during high school, and we're excited to see what's going to happen with Troy as he proceeds on through the rest of his high school career. So each of these kids, as you saw, if we can proceed to the next slide from here, Dustin, has a story. And there's a couple things I want to talk about your story. Number one, I want these kids to know that your story matters. And this is for everybody in the audience today. Your story really matters. And you may think that the things that you do are not important in the big picture, or they don't matter to the church, or there's some little things that just don't matter to God. But everything matters. Everything is important. And you get to decide, what is your story going to be? We talked about these different students, and you could say Kenny is the guy who plays football, and Travis is the guy who smiles a lot, and Jacob is the guy who was in Sea Scouts and can sail a boat in the water. But does that really define someone? To say Garrett Blank starred in Grease at Granite Bay High School. Your story is bigger than anything I can say about you right now today. There's much more to who you are and what you will be. And guess who gets to decide what your story is? You get to choose. It's up to you. Is it going to be a good story or a bad story? Is it going to be boring or interesting? Is it going to be the same as everyone around you? Or are you going to challenge things that are not as they should be? Because your story really, really matters. The reason your story matters is because God is telling a big story. And your story is a part of this. You have a smaller story that's a part of the bigger story. The Bible is referred to as a meta-narrative. That's just a big fancy way to say big story. And you know what's in the big story? Lots of little stories. And they try to write systematic theologies about the Bible, and I think more we should just call it a big story. It's a story. It's not a system. And your story fits into that. And lots of things, since the time the Bible has been completed, lots of people have lived lives that are worthy to continue to retell. And you are a part of that. Because we are in a dynamic relationship with God. And dynamic means continually changing. God is not changing, and His love for us and what He does for us doesn't change. But because you are an individual with free will that can decide who you'll be and what you'll do, and you're in relationship with Him, that makes the relationship dynamic. And so your story isn't yet done being told. It's marked by continuous and productive activity or change. There are some people in the Bible whose stories were really important. Important enough that they were told within the pages of the Bible. I think about Abraham in Genesis 18, who was actually able to change the story. God was going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham prayed and prayed and prayed and changed how God was going to deal with them. And eventually it happened how God said it would, but he was able to put it off for a little while or to change God's mind if something could be different. His story mattered. I think about Ruth. Ruth, who was just a foreign woman that was not an Israelite. She lived among a foreign people, the Moabites. And as the story had already been written, it is, you're a Moabite, so you cannot be among the children of Israel. But because the relationship with God is dynamic, she said, I want Naomi's people to be my people, and I want Naomi's God to be my God, and I am entering the story, and I'm changing what the story may have been because I'm choosing to be something different. I think about Nehemiah, who after the exiles had been in Babylon and Judah was coming back. He came back and he could have just left the walls the way they were. He could have just said, well, this is good enough. The king of Persia has allowed us to return. We'll just live life. But he said, the walls aren't big enough. We're not safe. And so he decided to do something different. And we remember his name because he chose to rebuild the walls and make things better or different than they were. We look ahead into the New Testament and we see Stephen. And depending on his choices, he could have just been someone that we don't even know about. He could have said, what I do can't really matter. He could have chosen not to speak up in Acts 7 and 8 and to tell the truth about Jesus. He could have just submitted and said, okay, well, I submit to Caesar, to Rome, to Herod. But no, he told his story, and his death sparked a great persecution. Him being stoned sent believers, believing Jews, and their faith into other parts, and the gospel began to spread to other parts of the world because of his courage, the courage to die. I think about after the time of the Bible, heroes of the faith. I think about St. Patrick, who there's a holiday after, and we kind of don't even know what that's about, but you know what he did? He chose to let his story be important to a pagan people called the Irish. He was kidnapped by Irish people and forced to live among them and saw their pagan ways, and eventually he escaped. But when he was back in his homeland with his Christian, rich, noble family, God called him and broke his heart for these people that had kidnapped him. And he moved to Ireland and completely Christianized the whole island. And then later on, as history goes on, the Celtic Christianity that Patrick started actually Christianized most of Europe before Roman Catholicism got there. He didn't have to do that. He could have had a different story. He could have just lived his life in luxury and not been a part of that. But he knew that his story would matter. So he did something different. I think about my sister Amy, who you don't know her. Her story may not be significant to you. But she had a friend in high school named Sherry Johnson. And Sherry was among a family that didn't go to church or didn't really know much about God. And Sherry didn't believe in God. She was stated, I'm an atheist. There is no God. But my sister said, Sherry, would you come to church with me? And so Sherry was a part of our youth group. She came to youth rally. She came to church. I remember the youth rally where she's in tears saying, I believe in God. I remember when Sherry got baptized. And then I went away to college and was doing my own thing. And when I came back, Sherry's entire family are now Christians and part of a church. My sister's story mattered. Maybe you don't know her, but Sherry Johnson sure does. And Sherry's kids who are being raised in a godly family and going to church. What you do really matters. I think about Wilson Parish up in the Portland area, sharing the gospel with those who don't already know. Starting a new kind of church for a new kind of people so that people who don't know Christ can come to know him. And regardless of planting a church or not, I think about Wilson and his interaction with everybody all day, all the time, everywhere he goes because of his invitational attitude. And he knows that how he talks to a teller at the bank or when he meets with the city council, he knows that those things aren't secular. Those things are sacred. And he knows that what he does matters to God and matters to the people that he's talking to. I think about a missionary that in Ethiopia that we support, and we call him a missionary, but he's grew up in Ethiopia. You know Bahailu Abebe? I think about the fact that during the famine in the 1980s, when there was a lot of money being raised and actually funneled through the Church of Christ, became a major feeding center for those that were hungry. And I think about the fact that, as Bahailu told us, as we're driving across the Ethiopian countryside, that he drew a line in the sand and put up a fight to say, we will feed everybody, regardless of what they believe. Because people are hungry and they need food. They don't have to be Church of Christ. They don't have to be Christian. They may be Muslims, but we will work with them and we will feed them. And as a result, there has been an enormous harvest in Ethiopia following that. Because Bahailu knew that his story mattered and that what he did would affect the future. And so he chose to do something a certain way. I think about Matt Huddleston right now and those who are in Japan, looking at this time of tragedy among the Japanese people. Derek and Mike Short and others who are over there, and they know that what they do with their time matters. They know that being over there is more than just cleaning out someone's house or more than delivering food to hungry people. They know that it's seeds that will be planted for future growth in the kingdom. And what do all these stories have to do with graduates? This isn't typical graduation advice. I'm supposed to be telling you that you're going to go away to college and you should study good and not stay up too late and go to class on time, right? I'm telling you this because I want you to look at people's lives and say, I can make a difference in some small or big way. Because good or bad, what you do really, really matters. And the big story, your story matters. You are a part of this big story. It doesn't end in Revelation. The story is still being told. Otherwise, why are we still here? What you do makes a difference for those around you. What you do makes a difference for Cordova Church of Christ, for the kingdom of God, for the church in America, for the church in the world. Who knows what will happen in your life and what you'll do. But what you do at church on Sunday morning, what job you choose, the way you treat your coworkers, whether you go to college or don't go to college, the way you live matters. There is no such thing as secular. Everything matters to God. Everything is spiritual. Everything you do has something to do with your relationship with God and who you should or should not be. I think about Psalm 139. Read to you verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And I see the psalmist saying, I can't get away from God. And I can say, well, you know, I'm young. This is a time that doesn't matter so much. When I get married and have kids and I'm 30 years old, I'll come back to church then. Then I'll really get serious because, hey, I'm still a kid. What you do right now, whether you're 18 or 28 or 8 or 12, matters to God right now. And it's defining who you are. Not just who you will be, but who you are right now matters. So what you do, and this is a much smaller, or maybe you would say bigger idea than if you choose the right college, or if you choose to not go to college just yet, or if you go to community college. Different than those big choices, what you have to decide is who are you? Because the way you treat people, the way you live, the way you act, the way you love, what you fill your time with, that is what matters. That's going to become your character. Your character is going to tell your story. And as right now, there's some things that can define you graduates, the things that you've done that you've been a part of. But think about who you're going to be in 10 or 20 or 30 years and what's going to define you then. Here's what I hope. I hope you have some great stories. I hope you have a story that you can tell that says, this is what I've been doing. And the other thing I want to tell you about your story is it's not done yet. You don't have to be the guy that you are now. You don't have to just be defined by what you, your personality or what you were involved in high school. You can be much more. You can be much different. You can be different than that. Your story isn't done. If you think that you want to be better or different than you have been, then do it. Nobody's story is done being told yet. If you're still sitting here, you've got more life to live. So I challenge you to live it. I want to read a passage and just give two other main points regarding what you do in your story. And then we'll move on. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 20 say this. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. So I see two things in there that I want to mention. Number one, agape. Love is the most important thing that you can do with your life. Not the love that's a funny feeling in your tummy, not the romance of your future spouse, but the way that you treat everyone. Will you submit and sacrifice for others? Will your life be about the kind of love that we see God having for us? And number two, the gospel. And those two things are pretty much the same thing. The gospel, Christ died, buried, and resurrected for you. If you have that agape, if you want your story to matter, you need to emulate that gospel with those relationships around you. That is the message that Christ has for us, that we be reconciled to God, and that we implore others with the way that we live, the things that we say, the actions we take, we implore others to be reconciled to God. And we know that the big and little decisions I make are really important. And I want to challenge you and encourage you. As I've seen many graduates do, I say on Sunday, they have these big plans and within a year, it's completely changed. That's okay. Jacob, if you head off to Humboldt State and it's not what you're going to do and you switch plans, switch plans. Marissa, if you haven't figured out exactly what you're going to be when you're 30, that's okay. Just live for God right now and then decide as you go who you'll be and what you'll do. But do something and make what you do a sacrifice to God. Make the way you live, worship, not just Sunday mornings, but we'd also love to see you Sunday mornings. Make your life the sacrifice, not the songs you sing on Sunday morning, but what you do, how you live, because your story matters. It matters to us that we see it lived well. It matters to your parents and your grandparents and your family, because you're a part of us, and we want to see it lived well. And for everyone else here, the same thing for us. Let's live our story well. Let's make it matter. Let's not have a boring story. Let's do something that matters in everything that we do, in the big and small things.